Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 610. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Shahid. What is up, good sir?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves during these trying times.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild around here. Franklin County today just got called a purple zone. So the county that I live in, but do not work in currently, is in a purple zone. They even there's a one tower down in downtown Columbus that they always light it up with different various colors, and it's purple right now. Like that's where we're at. Usually it's like Columbus Crew colors, Ohio State colors this time of the year. No, we got a purple tower currently in downtown. It is truly wild out there.
Yeah, well, technically, yes. So Texas is way past purple. So, like, I think we're top five as far as like cases this week. We are either number one and number two nationwide in amount of cases, and people still like, I ain't wearing no mask. I'm a good old boy. You ain't gonna stop my freedom. So, as well as you think.
Yep. Though there are definitely those holdouts around these parts too, and it's just I am glad that I have a house that I can just enjoy. Like, yeah, this whole staying in thing would be a lot more of a bummer if I couldn't basically do what I was doing anyway.
Amen to that.
You know, a few less things out, eating wise, but other than that, I'm pretty good. Because one of those things that, of course we always talk about here that we can watch while we're in, because hey, even in pandemic crazy Florida, we still get professional wrestling.
Hey, that's the best place to have it.
Oh, man. We're going to concentrate here on NXT today. So what are your thoughts on Leon Ruff now being, he's going to hold a championship for longer than Kane ever did, I think, at this juncture.
I don't know what that says about Leon Ruff or what that says about Kane.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I really expected him to lose the title this week. But, you know, Damian Priest coming down and cold cocking him to get the DQ is certainly... This is a weird play on kind of a typical trope, I feel like they normally do. You know, normally it's the champion getting themselves DQ'd on purpose. But this setup they have going on is pretty weird. And I enjoy it because it is weird.
Yeah, they went from, like, you know, the plucky babyface who had no business being in a match, winning the title by a fluke, playing it for laughs. Like, I saw the picture of Triple H doing the point, and he's pointing down because the belt's on the ground. Because it's too big to go across his waist with the comment, that's why we don't call it a belt. And, you know, it's kind of like, we've seen that before, you know, jokey joke champ, blah, blah, blah. It's a nice story. And now it's morphing to, don't treat me like a joke. I'll wrestle both of them at the same time. And I'm like, yeah, you can throw as much as you want, but... I could see him winning. I could see him keeping the belt because Gargano and Priest is just so busy messing with each other. He gets another fluke win. I have no idea how long this is going to drag out. I remember when I first saw him show up on NXT, I'm like, boy, this man missed some meals.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, I saw, they were showing some of that footage back, and I'm like, did he actually lose weight in NXT? Like, I'm confused. Like, I thought some of his earlier promo shots, he looked beefier. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be going backwards. Like, that is not the WWE plan. Usually you immediately bulk up. I mean, that guy's definitely got some, I would think, some room on that frame to size up.
He's on the Adam Cole diet.
Yeah, the only other guy to get smaller while in NXT. So yeah, that is the Adam Cole diet, I would say.
Yeah, it's just funny where they took somebody that you wouldn't even think of and just made him compelling and made the whole storyline compelling. Because it's kind of like, I remember when he showed up, he was a jobber, he lost, and then he shows up again, knowing, Johnny Gargano, I hate wheels. And it's like, okay, it's going to be another squash match. And then he wins the title. And I was like, wow, that was unexpected because Johnny just won the belt. And now, like, they're having a storyline, how to mess up the storyline between him and Priest, add somebody else, and no matter what happens, he's going to remember. Like, there hasn't been that many North American champions. Although, going from Keith Lee to eventually him is like, there's some regression going on. Like, good Lord.
Yeah, it's the title's definitely in a little bit of a weird spot being on him because I mean, I was pretty impressed by his skills. Like, he really kind of let when Gargano and Priest were in there, he kind of got really fired up and I was like, "Oh man, this guy's pretty good." Like it's like, yeah, like I really feel like the guy would be over great if he just had some more body mass. Like, he doesn't need to be Cheeseburger in ROH 2.0. Like, that just seems like a weird way to go to me.
I mean, we have been cracking jokes, but I don't want to be like, the type that body shames folks because too many times fans end up sounding like Vince McMahon. Oh, he just need to hit the gas for a little bit and grow up. I'm like, wrestler, I mean,
Yeah.
if he's credible, he's credible. And it's more kind of like, time will tell. I have no idea where this goes. Is this a temporary thing, bump in the road? Is he going to be on 205 Live? Or is this the start of something? I'm definitely intrigued. So, mission accomplished. They made me care about somebody that I didn't care about when they first signed them.
Well, and that I guess that is kind of an interesting aspect I hadn't really thought about much is that when you get this much airtime and it's clearly going to be even more with the three-way, and they didn't make him look bad when he was in there with Priest and Gargano this week, so I wouldn't think that they'd completely squash him in the match. Like you said, like I bet you he'll end up being an afterthought between the other two and possibly winning it again. Or at
We'll
least it's
see.
going to be a good tease the whole time.
We will see. Well, like one thing NXT is good at is kind of like making something out of nothing.
Yeah. I would have to say Cameron Grimes to me continues to make something out of nothing. I really hate the blindfold matches, the bag over the head matches, and I think this might be the first one that I was entertained by in my life as a wrestling fan. Your thoughts on Mr. Grimes and Mr. Loomis here?
I am a big time Dexter Lumis fan. I will say that right now. I don't know why. Because I remember him in TNA and I was not a fan. I was like, maybe because in TNA it seemed too realistic. Like him being a stalker just seemed like, yeah, like, this seemed kind of too close to home. Like he could really be like this in NXT is kind of like so ridiculously over the top, where it's kind of like, all right, he's just playing one. He's not, but he plays it well. Face never changes. He's wrestling in gray jeans
And a pair of gloves.
and a pair of gloves. He's like, he just has that look, and like he wrestles a he wrestles like a normal person. He just carries himself like he's gonna murder somebody, and it works. Like it's not over the top. And just the dichotomy between him and Grimes, because everything Grimes does over time. I'm just a good old boy from the Appalachians. Look at my hat. Everything's kind of like every stereotype from West Virginia or North Carolina, but he can wrestle his ass off.
Yeah. And he's one that I know Jeremy and I've talked about it. Like, he doesn't look. Dexter Lumis is huge, and he doesn't look too small wrestling him. Like, you don't think of him as a big guy, but he's a pretty big guy in general. So, like, he's a little more versatile than some of the guys I feel like on NXT in the ring. Like, because I always get concerned about, yeah, the Adam Coles and Johnny Gargano's trying to, go to the main roster. Like, Cameron Grimes is still big enough to pretty much do the same act on the main roster, and I would imagine still make a shit ton of money.
They don't do like a lot of times they do when they NXT people go to main roster where they overdo with the stereotypes. It's kind of like, NXT, it's your personality pushed to 11, and they go to WWE and it's pushed to like 100, and it's kind of like too much. And I can easily see like Cameron Grimes pushed too much would just look horrible, and you can easily see how that would go. So you would hope they don't have such a heavy hand. And but in the meantime, I get to see him, be afraid of Dexter Lumis while trying to beat him, and it's kind of like they're giving them something to do. They're not fighting over title; they're fighting over, I don't really know what they're fighting over, but they're fighting, and it's entertaining and enjoying. So I'm here for that. Like, give me as much Dexter Lumis on TV as they want to, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, he's really, I feel like, improved. Like, I think they just refined his in-ring style just enough. Like, he really just kind of uses kind of a power offense and keeps it super simple, like, which is probably for the best. And he's weirdly athletic for his size, too.
Yes, was like a deceptively athletic, like a slot receiver,
Yeah,
as they would
because.
say.
Oh, he's Julian Edelman. Okay. Or Cooper Kupp. Is it Cooper Kupp? Yeah, I think so.
Sneaky fast.
Well, next we got Shotzi Blackheart playing with Power Tools announcing the women's War Games, which really ended up getting filled out pretty quickly thereafter, in the next segment with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro. So I figure we can probably just wrap this one up all into one nice little bow here.
I mean, one, it's kind of like they really like Shotzi Blackheart because they give her a lot of time each week. And, NXT is still 2 hours, but everyone doesn't get time. Everyone doesn't show up. She's there every week and she gets a segment. So they obviously see something in her. And it's kind of like this, I don't know, a Becky Lynch vibe where it's kind of like, she's a goofball badass. That's just being herself. Like, she just feel like she's just, I run on the tank. I look like a weirdo, but I'm tough. And it helps where she's big. In
Oh.
like a division where a lot of women aren't big. Like, she is, I'm about to use that word again, deceptively big.
Yeah, she's definitely taller than some of the other women, which, it's not hard to be taller than Casey Catanzaro, but a lot of the women are a little bit on the shorter side, and Shotzi's pretty tall overall. So yeah, that does it makes a difference, and she has a weird, yeah, I always just feel like she's being genuine about whatever she's doing, which I feel like helps a lot. Like, just, well, and I knew a lot of weirdos like that. I'm sure that that might not be shocking to some of our audience. But yeah, like, I feel like I kind of know that type of person. Like, and I think that's helped me get invested in her very easily. Yeah, 'cause yeah, I've definitely known my share of weirdos in the day. When you listen to heavy metal, that kind of goes hand in hand with
That sounds about right.
weirdos. So yeah, and she mentioned Candice LeRae in the promo. So yeah, and I mean you're right. Like she's definitely getting some time. Candice LeRae was heading the other team. She headed the team with Indy Hartwell. And I guess it wasn't much of a surprise because who they ended up cleaning some people out of the ring later.
Oh, Toni Storm and Ember Moon.
Ah, yes. Yeah, that was later in the night. So I would imagine that Toni Storm and Ember Moon will be on the on Shotzi's team here, though it was not announced. And yeah, because I guess that was later in the night. Man, this was a women's heavy evening. Because yeah, it's Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. So we got all four. Because it's four, isn't it? Four on four at War Games.
Normally 4-on-4 unless they find five. I think last year was 4-on-4, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, okay. So I was thinking it was 4-on-4. So I don't know if they were waiting. I was kind of assuming that they were waiting for the loser of the main event to join the War Games team. And I guess it could be Rhea Ripley.
I mean, they gotta do something with her. I guess we'll get to that title match when we get to it. They
But
have a lot of options with women to the point where some women go on Instagram or Twitter complaining about how they haven't been on TV. It's like they got a lot of women, both singles and tag matches. And it's kind of like, even with being a woman dominant show, how this one was, it's still a limit. Like you have about what, three or four more tag teams? And everybody's trying to go for the title.
yeah, yeah, Ember Moon did not do herself any favors. I mean, if she's happier in NXT, cool, but she definitely moved down to a ro like the women's rosters on the main shows are. They still can't seem to get the time, but I mean, this one, this show ended up having two women's tag team matches, a women's segment, and the main event, which also got two videos. Like, you're definitely, as much as they've changed their tune with the ladies on the main shows, their time has definitely gone down without the Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch around.
I think it's kind of, and it kind of snuck up on you because it was like, I think the biggest thing is one, they've been using Asuka less because it's been, I mean, now it's been the whole Survivor Series thing where it's like we got all the, it's almost been the Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax show and whatever weird shit Alexa Bliss is doing. So, like, the other stuff is in the background. As far as like Raw and then SmackDown is just basically like, it's Bayley, Sasha, and Sasha Light, aka Carmella, and everything else is in the background. Where like, like Raw came, they basically had to write off Mandy Rose and what's her name?
Oh yeah, Dana Brooke.
Dana Brooke, for whatever reason, I'm like, are you gonna really replace her? What was the point of breaking up the Iconics if you're going to put Peyton Royce with American version of herself?
I am confused. Like, 'cause they screwed them up for reasons unknown. Like, if you're gonna invest in Peyton Royce as a singles wrestler, cool. I got it. But when you give her like one match and that's her singles run, whew, that is not enough, kids. But yeah, her and Lacey Evans are a weird combination too, because I guess they didn't get Billie Kay? Is that maybe what's happening?
Yeah, they was like, oh, Peyton Royce is a star, Billy Kay, we don't see anything, and I'm like, you made the wrong choice. You picking Peyton Royce because she had her hair blonde. That is it. Like, you know, ring-wise, it's not that much of a difference. Personality-wise, Billy Kay has far more personality than Peyton Royce, and we won't even talk about the differences, like, outside the ring, because it's kind of like, only one keeps getting on trouble because of stuff she tweets and posts, and it ain't Billy Kay.
Oh.
We won't litigate that again, but, you know, for people who don't remember, someone who looks like me asked for a happy birthday shout out and Peyton responded by posting a picture of a gorilla. And then not wondering what the big deal was. So, yeah. And that was the first time she did something like that either, so.
I did unfortunately need a little refresher, but as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, and that, like you said, that was not the only time.
Yes.
So.
Like I say, they're funny when they decide this who's going to be the person for the tag team, and usually they end up picking the wrong person anyway, but that's fine. You know, it is what it is. So, Survivor Series is kind of like, it's always been a weird thing about, you know, why are we doing this? Is it for brand supremacy, bragging rights, who's better, who's worse? And I don't know how much you talked about it. Like, we'll go back to NXT. It's just kind of like this year is, you know, the SmackDown women's team seem to get along fine. The Raw one is kind of like, you know, Shane and Nia Jax don't want to tag with anybody. And they keep kind of shooting themselves in the foot. That goes. And then with the men, is none of them like each other. I mean, I guess Keith Lee likes Matt Riddle, but that's about it. And no one likes AJ Styles. And AJ Styles like, oh, you just follow me. We're going to be great, y'all. And like, I've seen that shit too many years. It's kind of like, I don't care. Like, this is the first year where the 5-on-5 – I probably care about the least. Like, the Street Profits and New Day, I'm looking forward to that. The women, I'm looking forward to that. Bobby Lashley's going to murder Sami Zayn. Just like he did last time. And it's kind of like, you know, maybe it'll last 7 minutes instead of 4 minutes, but it'll be what it'll be.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why they... Okay, if they're going to put the belt on Drew... Why take it off of him in the first place?
That has been a question for a while now. It didn't make any sense to me. Like, I completely get rewarding Randy Orton for being the best Randy Orton he's been in about 5 years or something, and maybe of his career. I have no problems with that, but yeah, when he I thought it got made pretty obvious when Drew showed up on SmackDown and got like 3 or 4 segments on SmackDown, that I'm like, oh yeah, he's getting the belt back. And then when he got another 3 or 4 segments before the main event, I was like, oh well, yeah, he's getting the belt back. So. It's kind of weird. Like, it definitely makes the matchup better because we get heel versus babyface. But I'm not there are kind of limited good resolutions to that matchup. Because now that you had McIntyre lose, like, it's not going to look good if he loses the Roman Reigns. Like,
but he's going to lose the Roman Reigns. And that's the thing that gets me, is kind of like,
yeah,
if you wanted somebody to lose their Roman Reigns, just have Randy Orton do it. Why put the belt on Drew and Drew tall? When I come down to your neighborhood, I'm going to sit down at the table and have the food out and blah, blah, blah. He was talking all that cash shit to Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Like, you talked all that trash, you got the belt, and you're going to lose your first match after getting the belt. Because they're not going to have Roman Reigns lose.
The only out that they have is Jey Uso inadvertently costing Roman Reigns the match to let
Well, I
Roman
don't
lose
see.
that thing.
Yeah, but I don't see them having. The way they're pushing Roman Reigns and making him the centerpiece, I don't see him losing anytime soon. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care who's in. Like, I know people thinking, like, it's setting up to a Mania match with The Rock. Yeah, so he could demolish The Rock. Like, it ain't like The Rock's gonna win that match. So we talked about who's gonna be the man that beats Roman Reigns first. And I'm curious to see what it is. Like you said, unless it's Jay messing up, I'm just trying to help y'all lose. Like, it ain't gonna beat Drew McIntyre on Sunday.
Oh.
Although I like he had an awesome entrance, coming out with his sword, that was cool. And they had a very good match, and I was just surprised they had kind of like, a pay-per-view level match on Raw. And
Oh.
the title change. And it's been a while since you had like a great match with a title change on Raw.
Yeah. I guess I'm almost surprised. It's been long enough that I'm surprised I didn't see the statistic of how long it's been since that happened, somewhere along the line, because it's been quite a while. And yeah, it was. I mean, I guess I like it. Like, I do feel like Drew's done a good job. Like, him and Orton have been great during this whole quarantine era. Because yeah, I mean, 8 months of it's at least worth counting as an era at this point, isn't it?
I didn't realize how long it would be.
Oh yeah. But yeah, that was yeah. It Survivor Series is going to be interesting in that regard because yeah, I'm with you. Like, that's why I said that there's kind of limited options for that outcome because I really do like it's either Rain steamrolls them basically. Or Jay costs them the match. Like, if they have something else in between, like, I don't know what it would be. And the other question you brought up, which is one I haven't thought about, is who's the first guy to beat Reigns? Like, I don't know if he's. I mean, would it have to be some. Is Keith Lee. No, Keith Lee's not even on the same show.
It gotta be Big E. Like,
Oh.
eventually. Because it seems like they kind of leaning toward that, like making Big E like a slow burn and a big deal. And, I mean, unless it's gonna be Jimmy Uso. Like, it's kind of like I can't really think of anybody else right now on the roster that would make sense. And, take advantage of Roman Reigns because he's gonna. He's there for a good time, not for a long time. He did not get those teeth just to like the smile on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, like it's still kind of incredible to me. Like I think that the wife didn't notice it, but I'm like, oh yeah, John Cena, voice of Honda now. She's like, what? And she finally listened to the commercials, and I'm like, told you. I'm like, guys everywhere now.
Is a media mogul. Like, he's about to have an HBO Max show as a prequel show before the Suicide Squad comes out, which he's in. He's the main villain in the next Fast and Furious movie. Like, if you turn on the TV and it's like regular TV, like cable TV, eventually after like 10, 10 minutes, you're gonna see a commercial with John Cena in it.
Oh yeah, and Roman Reigns sees that, and he's ready to make that jump. And
It's like, do
I
you want
don't
to do
blame him.
bumps forever? It's kind of like, no. Like, it's really, what else can he accomplish in wrestling that he hasn't accomplished? Besides, now he's basically doing the role that everybody wanted him to do. He's knocking out the park. After that, like, what else is there to do? It's like the same thing with Batista. Like, I've been the great baby face. I've been the baby face people don't like. And now I'm the awesome heel because people want me to be heel and I'm awesome. And it gets to a point where it's like, same thing The Rock said. I've done everything I could do. There's nothing else to do. The last thing The Rock wanted to do was beat Steve Austin at WrestleMania. And he did that. He was done. Like, you know, everything else, ice on the cake. Like, what else Roman Reigns going to do? Like, he's not going to stick long enough to, like, you know, win the title 14, 15 times. Like, it doesn't matter at this point. And
no.
So, and he's dipped his foot in movies. He definitely has a, you know, look and charisma for movies. Like, the more you do it, the better that. He has a relative in Hollywood that could hook him up whatever he needs a phone call. So you really want to be, you know, make Paul Heyman afraid each week on SmackDown like week after week, or go make some Hollywood money and get some insurance.
I don't blame him for going for that Hollywood money at all. He certainly seems to be prepping for it. Has Sasha Banks been on The Mandalorian yet?
Yes, she was on this past episode, the one that passed on last week.
Okay, because I still haven't gotten my wife to get to the bottom of where we can watch Disney Plus, so I haven't seen any of that, but I guess did that turn out well? Since I haven't watched it, I don't really want too much. Like, I mean, I know Baby Yoda pops up, so I mean, that's going to be hard to miss, but.
She was there as part of, like, you know, as a fellow Mandalorian, along with Katie Sackhoff and somebody else. She didn't have a lot of lines. She definitely has it. Like, you know, she has a presence where, one, when she's on the screen, you can't take your eyes off of her. Like, that's one thing that you can't teach, is like having a presence. And I know Sasha Banks is a cool wrestling name. Her real name is Mercedes Bernardo is a movie star name.
Oh.
Like,
yeah.
Her name in real life is a damn movie star name. And, like, you know, she was there. You noticed her. She had a presence about her. She didn't seem, I mean, it's funny, it's in space. She didn't seem, you know, out of place. And it won't be the last time you see her on, you know, television or movies. And I know people complain tomorrow, oh, she barely had any lines. She didn't really do that much. She's playing second fiddle. And I'm like, The Rock had one line in the first movie he was in. Roman Reigns didn't have any lines when he was in Hobbs and Shaw. You start slow. Like, you know, it's like a thing. Like, and that's the damn Rock. And that's Roman Reigns. And even, you know, and she had more lines than they did when they started. So it's kind of like, you know, you work your way up. And she get to say, I was in the most popular show on Disney, and I was on a Star Wars show. You can never take that away. You know how cool that is if you like any type of nerd. She seemed like that type of nerd. I was on Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, that would that'd be pretty cool. I would admit to that. That would be a fun nerdy thing to somehow snag a part in. And she definitely seems like she's, that is up her alley, right?
What's that?
Does she like the Star Wars stuff? Like, has she mentioned that before?
She kind of, like, you know, it's funny where she kind of got it by, I think her husband got the hookup because the Jon Favreau, the showrunner, saw her on, like, a wings, like a show eating chicken wings. So, you know, I like your presence. You know, I'm filming The Mandalorian. Would you want to be on the show? You know, and she was talking about how nervous she was. And they reminded her, like, you know, you wrestle every week. It's a walk in the park. And she said Bryce Dallas Howard kind of helped her, you know, deal with her nervousness and, you know, relaxation like that. Because that must be kind of like nerve-wracking. I don't want to mess this up and everything. Even though it's kind of like his wrestling.
Oh, right.
It's the same. Like, wrestling all the time. Like, I got to wrestle live all the time. And I don't get to say cut, but like roll it back. Like, you know, my mistakes, everyone will see.
It's definitely a different setting. And I guess you can always tell that there's definitely a difference between wrestling acting and acting. So I could definitely understand being being nervous for that spot.
Like I say, kudos to her. And I will just say this, especially with how WWE is acting with the whole "we want to monopolize all your time and money, including Twitch." I'm like, these people are billionaires. Like, the worst thing can happen is when you realize you can make money doing other stuff. Because as soon as Stacy Keibler touched a little bit of money and fame going Dance with the Stars, she's like, forget all that. And that was just like Dance with the Stars. You step your foot in and they like you, you ain't coming back. Like, it ain't like, oh, I could have been a movie, I could have been a TV star, but nah, I like wrestling. Because you saw what happened with, like, Edge was like, Edge came back because he retired too soon. Edge didn't have to come back. He could do TV for the rest of his life. Because, like, he's been doing it for a while. He's like, I'm 6'5", I'm blonde, I could be in any old Western show or any Viking show because I look like either one of them. Like, I could do
Yes.
that for 20, 15, 20 years, be on Sci-Fi or A&E or whatever for the rest of his life if he wanted to. So, yeah, Sasha Banks is kind of like, hey, but it's take advantage of her while you have her, because between her and Becky Lynch, who also kind of dipped her foot in because she was on an episode of Billions and now she's pregnant. It's kind of like women aren't lifers for a reason. Like, they get to a certain age, it's like, I'm ready to have kids or I'm ready to do something else. And if you don't make it worth my while, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't blame him. Like, because even someone like Sarah Logan comes to mind. It's just like, if you're not going to get used, why? Like, you're just kind of spinning your wheels with something that I don't think it was going to change for her, you know? And Becky Lynch is kind of in that category of what else does she have left to do?
Absolutely, unless like I main event at WrestleMania, had a baby, then main event at WrestleMania again, because it's kind of like she was a woman, who main event at WrestleMania and won and beat Ronda Rousey. It ain't no, like I say, there's no topping that unless they have her fighting a man. Like, it's nothing that's
Oh.
gonna top that.
Right. Oh man, yeah, yeah. Well, then that's the other one. I think I just saw Charlotte tweet some picture out. I don't know what she has left to prove, but I'm not sure if she's getting the offers that some of these other ladies are getting. I would suspect that she might be able to.
She should, because it's like she's a damn Amazon. I mean, it should be a role. A tall, blonde, genetic marvel, and she likes to, and she likes to brag about herself. I don't know if she wants to. She seems like maybe she will, but seem like more like maybe she might be ready to, start a family herself. And she
Oh.
been a, it's funny where she hasn't wrestled for a long time. Like, she's wrestled. It's like, she had a whole ass life before she even started wrestling.
Oh.
People tend to kind of forget that whole part. And then she learned wrestling very quickly, got pushed to the moon because she looks the way she looks. Her dad's her dad. And it's kind of, it's funny where people used to groan when she shows on. I kind of miss her a little bit. I know I regret it, like, the first time she shows up and, like, ruins a match I want to see. But it's like, I knew whenever she was on, I would be entertained. I know she could put on a good match, and I know she would just piss people off just by her existence.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens with her. And yeah, I guess I missed her a little bit just because, like you said, I miss her more from the aspect that the the main roster really has kind of cut back on the women. You almost need to be in the overcrowded NXT locker room to get TV time. Like, and I know that most of the NXT shows are not this heavily women focused, but they certainly can do that when they want to.
Very true. although they haven't done it lately. I mean, I think it's more like a product of Survivor Series coming up and like women being out and then women coming back. But speaking of women in NXT, because we said we go back to that match between Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley, was a battle. Like, they were just fighting. And Io Shirai has this gift where it doesn't matter who she's wrestling against, she likes to get beat up anybody. Like, she just looks credible enough. Like it never feels like out of place of her just beating somebody up.
Yeah, she kind of has that. Even though she is a little smaller than especially Rhea Ripley, she really knows how to lay in the offense to make it look real. And I guess she's a little bit bigger than Kairi Sane, so it maybe looks a little more credible because she's
a lot bigger than Kairi Sane.
Okay.
I mean, as far as like, not maybe not height wise, but weight wise, like Io does her squats. So like Kairi Sane had the same thing where like she felt like she could be in a fight with anybody, but that was more because she was like Wolverine, whereas like she just threw her entire body into everything. So it just seemed like, okay, I can hang with anybody like that. Io Shirai, I always say she's like a coon. She's just a bully. Like, she's a baby face that doesn't take any crap off of anybody. And she just wrestles that way. And it's a funny match where it's kind of like you got two baby faces that it's kind of like pricks for their favorites. And it's, you know, because like Rhea Ripley's an asshole too, but people like her because they like her. So just having Rhea Ripley be like, you know, I'm the powerhouse that normally bullies whoever I'm in the ring with. And she just finished having like, you know, a monster match for like Raquel Gonzalez the past few weeks. And then it was more kind of like, you know, Io Shirai has speed and experience and how to overcome that strength. And they were just fighting. It wasn't like, you know, I'm dancing around doing a spot here. A spot here is like, I'm trying to hurt you.
Well, and at least they were smart enough to not actually hurt each other, like the people in the segment right after them. But we can get to that a little bit later too. But yeah, like it was that match was great. Like that's one of the better matches that I feel like I've seen in a while. Like. Because I guess I probably did like it a little bit more than Orton versus Drew a couple of nights before that.
I mean, just because it's like Orton and Drew seem more slower paced, and it was more like, it was a good match, like kind of methodical, like Rick Rude and Ricky Steamboat type. I've seen that match on WCW a zillion times in the 90s, so I'm a fan of it, but it doesn't blow me away because it's kind of like, here, you know, been here, done that. The women were like fighting. And it, you know, Rhea was bleeding from her ear. And that definitely added to it. It was like, it was just a war. And they were working on body parts. You know, they were trying to wear each other down. And the finish was awesome. Kind of like, you know, we kind of ignore how she did a running powerbomb with that big ass broad. Like, I know Io Shirai isn't small, but she's not Nia Jax either. She took about 3 or 4 steps and kind of did it without a problem after wrestling for probably, 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Something in that, area.
And then the way they set it up, you know, normally it's kind of like the person rolls in the ring like 9.5, beat the 10 count, and as soon as she rolls, First time I've seen something like that in a long time where it's like, you know, I'm going to take advantage of this person rolling in because I know they're going to be tired rolling in and I'll hit him with my move. She hit him. She pinned him. I'm like thinking Io Shirai is a smart champion.
Yeah, that was the one thing I did really love. That finish was fantastic for all the reasons that you just mentioned. Like, you don't see it. It's one of those ones where, you know, they're like, oh, can they take advantage? And almost no one ever really takes advantage of that situation. You know, like, they have a hard time lugging them into the ring. they take too long getting back into the ring themselves because they're tired. Like, yeah, the fact that she rolled her back in, hit the move, and then just went for the pin. I was actually a little bit surprised it happened that quickly. But it was a good way to wrap up the match. Like, it tells you, like you had to do that much to keep her down.
May make sense, and the fact that they had her win clean, kind of like Rhea Ripley didn't lose any from this match, to cemented Io Shirai like being like, I'm the champ, and I could be anybody on my best day. And then I didn't even get bothered by them embracing, like, had a hell of a fight. And most people like, oh, it's breaking kayfabe. They're liking the match. It's like
Oh.
awards of war. You can celebrate your winner.
Yeah, they don't need to immediately hate each other. I'm sure that 'cause yeah, I mean, Rhea's another one where it was weird when she didn't go up to the main roster after she lost at WrestleMania, and it's going to be weird if she stays down in NXT at this point. Because if you're not going to give the belt back to her, like, what's she doing there? Like, she is way more needed on the, especially without Becky and Charlotte. Like, she is way more needed on the main roster than she is in NXT.
Definitely. And it's kind of like, she's at that point where I've done everything I want to do in NXT, and it's other like Toni Storm's basically going to do what Rhea Ripley did. It's funny where it's kind of like they almost switched roles. Like Rhea Ripley took Toni Storm's spot, and now Toni Storm is going to be the one that took Rhea Ripley's spot. Like, there's nothing else to do there. It's like the same thing
No.
like Bianca Belair, except for at least Rhea got the belt. It's like, you're not going to put the belt on her, and she's too good to like. She's gonna wrestle Dakota Kai and beat her over and over again. Like, it's she gonna beat up
Yeah.
Aaliyah. Like, we've been there and done that. So, and they don't have NXT women. They only have one set of tag titles, and she doesn't have to be on. She could be on Raw, SmackDown if you want to go with a tag. Like, she's a single star. They know she's a star. She's young, so there's no rush. But it's like, why waste time? But have a
Oh.
plan. Don't be like they did with Bianca Belair, make a big deal about having her, forget about her for like 4 or 5 months, and then reintroduce her all over again.
Well, and I still think that they've done a pretty piss poor job. They gave her those segments that I really enjoyed that kind of had that old school vibe with her. Whoa, she was playing a game and winning at it. Like, she was kind of showing off her different talents and continuing to win. And that was really fun. And then she wasn't on TV for a week or two. And I don't, she wasn't on this week either, was she?
No, I don't think so.
And is she on either of the Survivor Series teams?
Yeah, she's on the
Oh,
SmackDown team.
she's on the SmackDown. Oh, okay.
She's like the basically captain of the SmackDown team, the way they set it up.
Well, yeah. I guess that's still kind of a bad look that I can't even remember that she's on the women's SmackDown team. And I
Yeah,
mean,
so far it's her and the Riot Squad.
oh, yeah, because I kind of forgot. That was I still feel kind of bad for Chelsea Green, but I guess injuries happen, so it is what it is. What the hell? Oh, yeah. So I guess finally moving on from the ladies, I did think it was terribly awkward to put Finn Balor on after this match.
I mean, set up the final thing, but like it's just weird. He's coming, oh, that was a great match. Now beat it. I gotta talk.
Yeah, that's what seemed weird, especially since he even gave the approving head nod to Io on the way out. I'm like, 9 times out of 10, like, the person that's having to leave the ring is like eyeballing the people coming down, like, even if it is different sexes passing each other, like, 'cause yeah, that is the message. Beat it, broad. It's the men's time to main event this thing.
I mean, well, you know, Finn Balor is for everyone. But right now, he's for himself. And they had to put this segment here somewhere. Because I was wondering where they were going with it. You know, he come out, the champs come to talk. And if, I guess we can wrap up soon with this. If somebody had told you last year that the three of the top manager, like the three top managers would be MVP, Taz, and Pat McAfee, what would you have told them?
I would question someone's taste telling me that Taz belongs in the same sentence with Pat McAfee and MVP. I would call them crazy, especially for Pat McAfee.
I'm trying to figure out which one would be the craziest, because it's kind of like, you know, I hadn't thought about him in like a decade, and I don't watch AEW, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about what he's been doing on AEW, so I give props to that. MVP's been a revelation, and they just use him the way they should have used him a long, like, you know, a decade ago. Again, the Pat McAfee thing is wild, because he always talked trash when he played. And when they used to take over pre-shows, you know, like, you knew he had personality. But he's a natural. Some people, he's a natural asshole. And it just works, because it's kind of like, it takes a lot for you, like, you know, the Undisputed Era was always like, you know, I'm the cool heel team, I'm still heels. It's easy to cheer for them, because it's kind of like Pat McAfee's a jerk. You just want somebody to shut him up. Even though it's funny where he's not, I mean, punters, you don't think I'm big. He might as well be Andre the Giant in the ring with all of them.
Yeah, for being, he is big for a punter. But, he's still not that big by football standards by any means. It is pretty funny that he looks like a giant surrounding them. Like, even though Pete Dunne got completely ripped during quarantine over in England, Pat McAfee, I think, is still a good bit taller than him.
Taller and bigger. And I'm glad you brought Pete Dunne. I love wrestling because even in street fights, they can't help themselves. Pete Dunne threw an enziguri during a street fight. And I just laughed. I'm like, hey, you fight and it's not a match. Why are you trying to throw an enziguri? It reminded me, what was it? I think it was like Rey Mysterio, Dolph Ziggler had like a bar fight match and Dolph Ziggler threw a drop kick.
Oh.
Some nonsense like that. Like, when people just bust out wrestling moves during street fights, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you just can't turn it off, like they say in Rambo. So,
it is awkward when there are moves. Like there are certain wrestling moves that make sense. You know, super kicks and things of that nature, things that are more grounded. When you see a drop kick, it always feels really awkward in a street fight. It's like, huh? Like, no one would ever do that in a street fight. Like, weird. Stop it. And I guess I did not even notice Pete Dunne giving someone an enziguri.
No, he tried to. He missed. That's why I noticed it. Because I think it was like Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, they ducked. That's why I noticed it. Not only because he did it, it's because he did it and he missed. And I started laughing because I'm like, pro wrestling is nothing else better than that. I'm just wondering where they're going, because obviously it's the Undisputed Era versus Pat McAfee and the Gang. You know, only Lorcan and Danny versus this team where it's like they were good, but you never thought they'd win the tag titles because it's like something small missing. Pat McAfee was that thing. Pete Dunne was a surprise because it's kind of like you forgot all about him once him and Matt Riddle broke up. So he went ahead, you know, ate some more fava beans, started doing some dips, and got his Dean Ambrose, you know, workout regime and came out ripped. So, I mean, that's a good matchup with the Undisputed Era. I just wonder where Finn Balor stands in all this.
Oh. Yeah, because obviously you already have four people in Undisputed Era. And it'd be kind of weird to be marketing Finn Balor's big comeback and not have him involved in some type of a match. So you still need someone more that isn't in the equation currently. And off the top of my head, I don't know who that person would be if they add a fifth person into this whole set of shenanigans.
I mean, he's the champ. I mean, that's the kind of thing we kind of forget about. Like, he's the NXT champion that has no nobody to wrestle. Because, QAnon Cross is still injured. And I don't know how long it's going to take for him to get back. I know he's been, I'll be back soon. And they teasing that. And it's like, no one would, like, Tommaso Ciampa, no. Like, let that shit die. Like, enough's enough. Undisputed Era seems to be busy. Johnny Gargano is also busy. It definitely gonna be Velveteen Dream. And I mean, she does they I mean, could have that they haven't built toward that. Like, it's potential people there. It's just weird. Like, Finn Balor went to NXT to do something. He's champion and really has nobody to wrestle.
He has had the worst luck in NXT. Like, him and Kyle O'Reilly did have a great match, but when both of those jackasses injure each other, not really the purpose of having a great match.
People need to remember, like, wrestling is supposed to, you pretend you hurt them, not do it on purpose. It's like Tom Cruise doesn't really shoot people in Mission Impossible, he just pretends that he does. Like, I never understood that whole, that's why I always, perfect time wrap up. That's why I could not understand why people made fun of Bret Hart, because Bret Hart used to brag, like, I make myself look good and no one gets hurt. And he's like, oh, Bret Hart's a mark. Bret Hart's just, he's fooling himself. I'm like, that's the point. Bret Hart did his job. Like, that's what he's supposed to do. All that knucklehead shit he used to do in 2000, all them German suplexes and chair shots and all that stiff shit. And people, oh, I broke my neck. I'm out for 8 months. It was a time post Attitude Era was like a third of the roster was out with a broken neck. Or, like, just injuries because all them German suplexes and TLC matches. I like, enough's enough. And that's why I never really liked Japanese wrestling. They kind of toned that out. I was like, no, I don't really want to see somebody really get a brain buster.
Oh.
Call me a coward. Like, I don't need to see somebody drop on their head for real. No thanks. That's. No. Like, stuff that I enjoy when ECW did when I was a teenager in early 20s, I kind of grew out of it because it's kind of like I went to pharmacy school and learned anatomy, and then like CTE became a thing. So no thanks. So it's, you would think they kind of moved away from that, but like they're still doing it. Like, chill out. And it's always the small guys that's doing it.
They because they want attention. they need something else to pizzazz things up. They can't pounce people like Keith Lee, so they got to do that, unfortunately. See you. I guess anything on Survivor Series that we didn't touch on that you want to talk about? I mean, we did talk a little Drew versus
Oh,
Roman.
yes. No, as we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the final retirement of The Undertaker. Because it's like, we've been doing this shit for like a year and a half. And
Oh.
I'm actually somebody that's not even bothered that much by The Undertaker. I'm like, they are dragging this shit out.
Yeah,
Like, no.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, oh my God, they're doing something else. Like, I definitely understand that he's like probably the greatest character ever in the WWE, but like you said, like I'm like, oh my God, like it's something more again? Really?
Like Ric Flair didn't get all this. And Ric Flair got a lot. I was like, you know what? It's funny when you think about it. Austin went away real quiet. Because it was like, you know, he just stopped wrestling and then he was the sheriff and then he just vanished. And it was like, Austin's probably arguably the greatest of all time. He never really got, like, beside the Hall of Fame ceremony, he never got a send off. I guess they're waiting for The Rock to finally decide he's not wrestling. It's like all the other stars they've had, it's kind of been like you get one night. You know, Edge got a night.
Oh.
I think, did Shawn Michaels get a night?
I don't know if he got a knight.
I don't even remember. It's kind of like, you know, Shawn Michaels is almost as long a lifer as Undertaker. Undertaker is special. And it's funny where everybody treats him like he's special. Like we've talked about before, like Triple H, like,
Oh.
yeah, I had relationship issues. I came to him. He was part of my wedding and like stuff like that. Like, you know, like he's my big brother. And it's like Triple H is just like everybody's uncle. And even it's like everybody looked up to the Undertaker. And he was in WWE like two generations before the Attitude Era. Good Lord. He makes me feel old because I wasn't even in high school when he started wrestling in WWF. And
Oh.
I'm in my 40s. And he's just ramping up now. And I'm like, I'm glad they're treating him like the legend he is. But I thought after the, like, you know, the documentary series on the network, I watched every second of it. It was very illuminating. I'm glad I watched it. You know, that the Boneyard match, perfect way to end. But I'm like, now we doing more? I'm like, for what? I know his anniversary, like Survivor Series, where he debuted and blah blah blah. But I'm like, it just seems like it's not even fans there. So
No.
what's the point?
Yeah, it's basically another video segment. You might get some of the wrestlers to come out and clap. Hopefully they stand at least 6 foot apart. I doubt it, but yeah, I don't. It is kind of a weird time. Like you said, like other than the significance of that's where he started his career, so this is where we're gonna like officially end it. Like I keep on going, are they gonna do one last match out of this thing? Like I guess that's the only thing that kind of keeps on popping up in the back of my mind. Like I was like, they're pushing this so hard. Are they gonna give him one last WrestleMania match?
I mean, I guess that's the
But
thing
I
with the Boneyard match. You can do that because, like, you know, smoke and mirrors and stuff like that. If you want to do it, do it. But I'm kind of like, I mean, unless it's Sting, like, who is he wrestling? Like, he
Oh.
has one last match. Who is he wrestling?
I got no
And then
idea because
they better not say Bray Wyatt. I've heard people say that, oh, you know, he can lose to Bray Wyatt, but like Bray Wyatt's been champ like three times. Like him, the
Yeah.
man made John Cena vanish the last time we saw him at WrestleMania. Like, it's you don't need to put Bray Wyatt over. Like we saw Bray Wyatt basically be the Shadow King and destroy John Cena's mind, and you haven't seen John Cena wrestle since. Like, it's beating up the Undertaker behind a barn. It's not going to make Bray Wyatt like a superstar. Like Bray Wyatt is what he is.
Yeah, there is it because yeah, Roman Reigns isn't a good choice because Reigns beat him at WrestleMania already. Obviously, Brock Lesnar beat him at WrestleMania already. Like all the big names that are still big names in the WWE have already beaten him already. And I mean, I guess you could go with Edge. But they had a WrestleMania match already,
Yeah, I'm like,
too.
oh, yeah, it's like, yeah, Edge needs to rub. I mean, it's Edge. He's old too.
Yeah, like, I mean, the only thing that would bring to the table is just the very obvious, you know, name versus name. But I also don't see Edge coming back to, you know, antagonize the Undertaker into a match.
I have to figure they saving Edge for Randy Orton so they can have the second greatest match ever at Mania.
Oh. So weird, but so very possible that unintentionally another feud will run like almost a full year.
I mean, it's a pandemic rules. You do what you want.
That is fair enough. I guess one other match that I kind of thought about that's probably worth talking about, Street Profits, New Day. Your thoughts on that one for Survivor Series?
It's such a weird dichotomy because it's kind of like New Day is looking into a mirror. Like, the Street Profits is kind of like how the New Day used to be. Because it's not like the New Day's old, but they've been around for, like, Kofi's old. And they've been around for a while. It's not like that corny where it's like, you know, DX, second version of DX. But it's just, the Street Profits seem fresher. Even though, like, Angelo Dawkins was in NXT for a long-ass time. He seemed relatively young. Like, it's a funny energy. It's kind of like, you know, the New Day's looking in the mirror what they used to be. And they both kind of have the same vibe and the same, not the same gimmick, but similar gimmick and similar energy. And, I mean, it's a curious match because it's kind of like, I'm looking forward to the match. I just think they're going to have a real good match. Like, you know, two top babyface teams that the fans both like, that have similar energies and styles that just gets to, like, wrestle. And no hard feelings. Like, they've been picking at each other, but it hasn't been any, like, animosity or anything. It really stands out how different the personalities are, because I know it's like when New Day was interacting with the Hurt Business, oh, yeah, MVP was like, I have no tolerance for this buffoonery. At all. Like, him and Lashley and Seuss was looking at, like, you two are embarrassing us. You are, like, y'all great, but y'all clowns. And they had awesome, like, I was just laughing because you could tell MVP was trying not to laugh, but it was like the disdain that him, and especially Lashley, like, Lashley just had this way just looking at you, like, I'm about to call the cops. Like, if you don't get all my property, like, he just standing there, like Lashley in a suit, just glaring at people, like, cut this goofball shit out. Just works. And they had an awesome match, like Shelton and Cedric Alexander. They had a great match. And almost thought they were going to win. The only reason I knew they weren't going to win, because Survivor Series was coming up, but they had some times where I thought they were going to win. So that was like a good setup to remind you, like, you know, New Day's been around. And sometimes they get overlooked because the Usos are the Usos. Like, yeah, New Day is, like, if they aren't 1, they're 1A, as far as, like, WWE tag teams of our generation. The Street Profits are, and the Street Profits, since they found their gig and it's, like, wrestle, it's just awesome. And I don't know how Montez Ford does what he does. Like, his athletic ability is just ridiculous. It's kind of like if a better Kofi Kingston. And that's saying a lot. Like, Kofi's super athletic for his size, but Montez just blows him out the water. And it's just unfair. Like, those frog splashes are video game level.
Yeah, that is something to behold. That, and his, because does he usually do a flip dive to the outside?
Yes. And sometimes he might flip so good where he, like, he kind of overshoots the person. You know what it is? He's like a bigger Ricochet. And Ricochet's probably one of the most athletic people I've ever seen. And it's kind of like Montez can do like 90% of it. And it's a lot bigger than Ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another one where I always thought of Montez Ford as the small guy until when they first got called up. I think they were feuding with AJ Styles and the club. And I saw him towering over AJ Styles, and I'm like, holy shit, he's a big guy himself.
He just seems small because one, he has slender legs, and two, Angelo Dawkins is a monster. That doesn't like Angelo Dawkins is large. He doesn't look large until it's like, oh, he's almost the same size as Sheamus.
Yeah, I think they bill him around 265 or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that
See,
guy
they
is
bill him as
definitely
like
every bit of it.
like 6'5", 265. First, he's like 6'5". Like that's Randy Orton height. And it's like he doesn't look big because he's wide, but he ain't
Oh.
small. He's just like a big ass husky. It's that singlet and them baggy pants.
Yeah,
That's what it is. Like he.
he doesn't show off his size. Like you said, like because of the outfit, like he just yeah, it makes him look shorter and squattier than he probably really is. Because yeah, 6'5", you're kind of a monster at that point. Like I feel like 6'5" and above, like you're just really being officially really tall at that point.
Yes, and it's kind of like this is such a thing like Billy Gunn syndrome.
Oh.
You don't realize how big Billy Gunn is till he's eye to eye with all the big people in WWF. And it's the same thing with like, Angelo Dawkins may not be the biggest person, but there ain't nobody that's like dwarfing him besides Braun Strowman. Like everybody else
Oh.
that's kind of like besides Braun Strowman and Keith Lee, everyone else that's kind of like normal big. He can like, stand toe to toe with and look. So I'm looking forward to that match, and I think it will be an excellent match. And like, it's funny, like, I'm looking forward to Survivor Series, even though it's not really a bunch of stakes beside, people fighting each other for bragging rights, which is how Survivor Series has always been anyway. And it's weird, it's like the first one in a long time, no Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of funny. I brought up his name at least once or twice during the show, and it's just like, yeah, I guess I don't really see him showing up for any reason. Like, 'cause like him and Roman would be a weird feud right now too.
I don't think he can with the whole COVID situation where like a lot of countries aren't letting Americans come,
Oh, hold on.
come in and vice versa.
Is he
Yeah,
still living in Canada?
he might be. I mean, I haven't heard, but I heard, Brock ain't traveling during coronavirus season. Like he is fine pretending to be Wolverine with his wife and his money. Like cutting down trees. So,
Fair
it
enough.
would be a weird dynamic because it's kind of like, Brock and Paul Heyman is kind of like, I'm the manager, we're friends. Sometimes I'll bully him, but it's like they get along cool. Roman and Paul Heyman is like, Paul Heyman is petrified of Roman. Like, I hope I don't say the wrong thing because he might murder me. Like, it's a different vibe where he just. So, and Mr. Reigns will get there when he gets here. Like, you need to relax. And so, fighting over the manager, we've had stuff like that. But I don't know. I don't know when we'll see Brock again. It's kind of, I would guess it's like when we have fans, they don't really need Brock. But Brock is always there. But it's kind of like at the same time, Brock getting old. I mean, he
Oh.
only wrestled like 4 or 5 times a year. Like, he's not the feet. We're at a certain thing we realize, like, yeah, a lot of our favorites are like in their 40s now. So, what's the,
Yeah.
like Randy Cena's and Randy Orton's and I guess AJ Styles is close to that and Brock Lesnar and all of those. When we've talked about before, WWE for the longest time didn't have a lot of stars that was like 30 or under. Like, it was like basically like Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman and everybody else was old.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, well, at least the women are definitely younger. The guys are still kind of old.
Yes, and here's the way to ramp up, because we're talking about women are younger and guys are old. I've heard the rumors. I hope with all my, wishful thinking, I hope with all my might that you not go with this Buddy Murphy or Leo wedding crap. No. Like, it's, I have hated the storyline from Jump Street, because it's kind of like, they know it's wrong. They have pointed out the age, like, Aaliyah is barely an adult. Buddy Murphy is a grown-ass man. What are they? And
yeah, Buddy Murphy is closer to my age than he is to Aaliyah's age.
And they making Rey Mysterio look like either the biggest showman on the planet or an idiot. Like, at first, they're making you try to find a way to dislike Rey Mysterio. Why? Like, this whole, the whole storyline has been batshit crazy, because it was fun at first, because it was basically like Seth Rollins and Murphy against, you know, Rey and Dominic, and then they brought Aaliyah in, and as soon as Aaliyah and Murphy start going, it's like, oh, this is not going well, because Dominic and Rey is like, you messing with the family, what are you doing? It's like, I love him, he's not that bad. Like, yes, he is. Oh, you mean I don't know how to use my brain? I don't know how to think for myself? It's like, oh, now we're going to make Rey Mysterio a chauvinist because he's trying to protect his daughter. And now I was like, oh, shake my hand, look me in the eye, you got my respect. Now you can date my barely above teenage daughter? Really? Is that the lesson that we are teaching? Like, it's just yuck.
This angle, I don't think the wife has seen it at all, but she's just, this would be one where she's going, how is this PG? And it is uncomfortable at best. And it'll be interesting to see what happens on Friday. If she's still around on Friday, we're definitely getting a wedding. I mean, it's going to be broken up,
I said they didn't kiss. They actually did. It was like off camera, because like during a commercial break on one episode, I don't remember if it was like Raw or SmackDown. It's like Buddy Murphy looks like a creep anyway. Just his face, he looks like, you know, you can't trust him. I don't know if it's the scruffy beard or what it is. It's just kind of like. That's why I say you can't be a moral human being and enjoy professional wrestling with a clear conscience. they don't let you. And I've kind of put my morals in my back pocket, because I'm like, you either got to accept it for what it is or it's not. But I have limits. And this is just, what's the point? They're fighting. Why? Like, I've always been kind of leery this whole we start adding family relationship things, so I'm kind of like, what does it have to do with the wrestling? What's, like, okay, so Buddy Murphy like Aaliyah, fine. They're on the network. They're on a commercial break. We don't gotta see that. Like, why are we seeing this? Why is Ray's wife, why is Aaliyah's mother allowing this?
The fact that she was the first one to say okay to the relationship, at least according to Aaliyah, and she hasn't raised any objections, it's just like you're not helping anyone question the Mysterio parents' parenting. Like, Rey looks like the chauvinist and her mom looks like an idiot. For just going, oh yeah, it's cool, man. He just beat your brother with a cane a month ago, mercilessly. Sure, go ahead and date the guy. It's completely normal.
Can you imagine Thanksgiving? Oh, sorry about beating you up, Dominic. Pass the cornbread. Like, what? What are we doing? And you know what this makes me wonder? Maybe Eddie Guerrero was right when he's talking about Rey Mysterio and what type of father he was. May he rest in peace, because I'm like, this is just, all this has done is just, it just makes Ray Mysterio look stupid. It makes Buddy Murphy like a predator. And yeah, how is this PG? How is this? It's family fun for everyone. Like, this is scuffed. You know, Seth Rollins, anyway, it leads toward, you know, I'm basically I'm a CrossFit preacher scammer, like with that one glove and wearing a woman's jacket. It's already kind of like, you know, like I call, you know, Joel Osteen with a gym membership. It's like I used to call Seth Rollins. It's already kind of lead toward the CB thing. And Murphy being the disciple, just, I hate myself. I'm following anyway. And now you add love with a teenage, with a woman, a young woman. I mean, it's legal, but it's kind of like, just not even taking account all the sketchy, you know, it wasn't too long ago, like a lot of people got in trouble for messing with women and young girls they shouldn't have been messing with. Like, it ain't, it's a reason people look at Matt Riddle and Velveteen Dream with the side eye. And it's a reason why you don't see Joey Ryan anywhere anymore except on Twitter begging for money. And they're doing that in this environment? Like, ugh.
Yeah. Not really good to highlight what could be indiscretions of a couple of members of your roster. So, yeah. Not a fun angle. I mean, they kind of, well, again, we'll see if they have kind of extricated themselves from the situation. If she's not on TV, thank goodness, hopefully this whole saga will be over. But like you said, like I got a sneaking feeling that it's going to keep on going because this has wedding, bad wedding written all over it. Oh, well, I guess that...
Michelle was here to bring...
Huh?
I didn't say anything else. I said, beyond, you know, I wish Eric Bischoff was still here. He would have put an end to this shit, but beyond that, we'll see.
Okie dokie. Well, Bell Time Beer of the Show, Who Farted Brewing C+. It is a frappe-style double India Pale Ale with milk, sugar, and vanilla. It is a little too sweet, kids. There is not enough coffee in that bad boy to put some bitter into that beer, which is a little bit necessary. So, yes, C+ seems about a good grade for that. I'm at DeFrango11. That is at... Are you still at Philly Drugs?
Yes, I'm still at Philly Drugs.
Okie dokie. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to download this very podcast, because I'm kind of tired of rattling off all the places we're at. And as usual, Shahid will do a proper close for us.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Duhati, and please date somebody close to your own age. We are out.